You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Private security because my body is worth being on this planet right now. I have private security because they, the white supremacist racist narrative that they drive into this country, the fact that they don't care that this black woman that has put her life on the line, they can't match my energy, first of all. This black woman who puts her life on the line, they don't care that I could be taken out of here. They actually probably are okay with that. But this is the thing. I won't let them get that off. You can't get that off. I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets because we're trying to save lives.
This is August 5th, 2021. That's the tirade of Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush on CBS News, when actually she got asked a question. You're under criticism because you want to defund the police, and yet federal campaign election records show that you spent almost $70,000 or more on private security for yourself. Is there not a conflict? Is that out of step with what you're trying to say? And you heard her answer. I'm not even going to bother going through it. We're going to examine it in more detail over the next 2 hours. But this gets back to when I hear her talk about my life is important. Yeah, I will agree, Congresswoman. I will agree your life is important. So is everyone else's life. And you're talking about you're saving lives. You're putting yourself in jeopardy saving lives. Isn't that really pretty much what every police officer of any law enforcement branch does? Pretty much on a daily basis, and they get death threats too. And in fact, just in Louisville, Kentucky area, one officer was ambushed while sitting in a car, an unmarked car, off duty, working a part-time security job, trying to earn extra money for his family, and someone walks up and basically executes him. And every fireman, and every paramedic, every first responder, every one of them many times risk their lives to save others. That's Cori Bush, of course, going on and on because she sat on the Capitol steps and demanded, and sleeping there, that we go ahead and move forward to stop the eviction process, which had expired. And President Biden even acknowledged, said, I've talked to numerous scholars, constitutional lawyers, and they say, we really can't do that. You can't impede that constitutionally. But some say it might be available, so maybe we should look at it. We're going to be joined later by an expert for the Heritage Foundation. He's going to talk specifically about this eviction ruling. And I have a bigger question than just this eviction ruling that says that you can't evict someone if they haven't been paying their rent. And yet, the banks, the lien holders of that property that the property owner has is leasing and renting to tenants. They can come in and seize it, and they will damn sure put everybody out of the house. But the bigger question is, what's the first thing a communist Marxist government does when it gets in control? It begins to nationalize everything. Businesses no longer privately owned. They are now owned by the nation, the government. Citizens, you think you own your house? You do today. Will you tomorrow? This is a slippery slope. If we don't put a stop to it now and demand that this cannot continue like this, I can have sympathy and empathy for those who need a place and to throw them out But if they had the money and they could have been paying, and in some cases they certainly could. And then, of course, we have President Biden telling governors who won't step up and demand passport, vaccine passports and things of this nature, if you're not going to help us get out of the way, you're hurting, you're killing people. And this same president and his administration have opened our border to hundreds of thousands coming across on a regular basis, unvetted for security, first of all, and certainly in many cases untested for COVID. And when they are tested, they just now decided they're going to start vaccinating just yesterday. We got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Heat back production.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The CDC does not make laws in this country. It's not allowed to. Under the U.S. Constitution, making laws is the exclusive role of the Congress. You vote for your senators and your congressmen, and they decide what the rules are. That's known as representative democracy. It's been our system for nearly 250 years. But apparently, it's now over. Rochelle Walensky now makes our laws. Walensky announced today that she has decided to nationalize America's rental properties, millions and millions of them from Maine to California. Tenants are no longer required to pay their rent. Property owners cannot evict them under any circumstances. Making someone pay to live on your property is now a federal crime.
That's right. If you were going to make someone pay to live on your property, it could pretty much be considered a federal crime at this point because the CDC decided it does have the authority to basically make law. That is the duty under the Constitution of the Congress. We're going to be joined later. That, of course, remarks last night from Tucker Carlson, part of his monologue. We're going to be joined a little bit later by Joel Griffin from the Heritage Foundation with an expert on constitutional law and this CDC edict. It is confusing for many folks because did it or did it not get rejected by the Supreme Court? September 4, 2020, the CDC originally banned property owners from commencing eviction process in the courts until the end of 2020. That was, again, 2020. Then the CDC renewed and extended the ban three times. Three different times. They were basically basing the edict on the Public Service Health Service Act, which authorizes regulations, quote, necessary to prevent the introduction, transmission, or spread of communicable diseases from foreign countries into the state or possessions, or from one state or possession into any other international and interstate spread of communicable diseases. I know you heard what I said, and yes, I was stressing that this Public Health Service Act gives CDC authority to prevent the introduction, transmission, or spread of communicable diseases from foreign countries into our nation. Now, the CDC is using that entire box of language to just say, if we put people out of their homes, they have to go to the shelters, and they're exposed to more people that might have COVID, and you have a COVID super spreader, so we need to stop it. But right there is a reason why the CDC originally came up with Title 42 under the Trump administration to deny illegals a right to simply cross our border because of the fear of spreading COVID. One of the first things the Biden administration did is say the borders are open again. And is also saying, you know, if the CDC wants to shut it down, they have to do it. We can't. Yes, you can. But here's the CDC not concerned about all the illegals coming across spreading it. They're concerned about eviction. And in the process, they are stepping over not only constitutional law, but they're stepping over basic principles of this nation, private ownership. You do know, again, and I'll stress to you, the very first thing a government does when it becomes communist or Marxist, where it was free before, is seize everything. You got a car, we take it. You got a house, we're certainly taking that. You got a high-rise structure or building, we're taking that. We're taking your bank account. We're taking everything. You got a company, we'll take all of that. We're going to nationalize everything. Well, the CDC under Rochelle Walensky suddenly decides they are capable of doing all of this, that they can just do it. Now, yes, there was a Supreme Court decision on it. And the Supreme Court decision decided to leave in place the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention eviction moratorium. And for some perplexing reason, Justice Brett Kavanaugh agreed with a court majority to leave the moratorium in place, even though he acknowledged the edict is indeed unlawful. This could be a slippery slope. If the CDC can decide you can't throw anyone out of your property, what's next? They're coming for you. You don't have any property? Oh, you got something. Oh, Larry, you're blowing this way out of proportion. You're just exaggerating. You're trying to create something that doesn't exist. You're a conspiracy theorist. You can call me that, and you can say I'm blowing it out of proportion, but I want you to look at, again, the history of every country and its people and the properties and the corporations and businesses that exist there. When the country suddenly becomes not so Democrat, not so free, not so full of entrepreneurship and private ownership, and the government takes everything. You know how many times businesses based in this country have had some of their plants seized with a change of rule in a particular country? And Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, admitted, he absolutely admitted, I want you to hear him say it, I consulted constitutional scholars, and they basically say what the CDC is doing is wrong, but, you know, maybe we should roll the dice and try it. That's what he's saying in his stilted, scripted way. Here we go.
I've sought out constitutional scholars to determine what is the best possibility that would come from executive action or the CDC's judgment. What could they do that was most likely to pass muster constitutionally. The bulk of the constitutional scholarship says that it's not likely to pass constitutional muster, number one. But there are several key scholars who think that it may, and it's worth the effort.
See? Now, I want you to keep that ruling in mind. And yes, different scholars and legal opinions have different views on sometimes the same subject, much as it also applies to science. You do know that. I mean, when they say follow the science, they're talking about follow the science we have. And if I say follow the Constitution, I'm just saying follow the Constitution. I don't need an interpretation. Just follow what it already says. And every constitutional scholar, basically, that Biden said he talked to said, basically, yeah, it's wrong. But there are some who say, well, you know, you might try it. You might try it. And that is exactly what he did. The White House enacted a new ban after days of progressives fuming over the failure to prevent the federal eviction moratorium from expiring. That's the way it was described by Politico the other day. And, of course, they did it because they had Congresswoman Bush of Missouri sleeping on the Capitol steps for 4 days as if that's a really hard life. It's not easy to sleep outside. I did a special report one time on the homeless, and I understand that. But I also knew I had home to go to eventually. And I do hear that Congresswoman Bush at one time, she and two children, I think, they had to actually live in their car for a while because they had no place to live. And I don't like to hear that for any American. No American should have to live like that. But what she was doing is theater, sleeping on the steps, theater. But it got enough noise going and enough rallies from the progressives. And Joe Biden, somebody pulls a string and he does what they want. So he again decided to ignore what he just said, that basically it's not going to be constitutional, but some say it might happen. And, of course, the state-controlled media quickly praised President Joe, writing about it's a remarkable 180, a symbolic reversal, according to Politico. But it's going to keep restive Democrats unified. And you've got Gene Sperling, the Biden advisor. He says what you have here is, even though there might be a law and it might be unconstitutional, you have in Joe Biden almost like Bill Clinton. Remember Bill Clinton saying at one point, I feel your pain? Well, this is kind of what Joe Biden has done, according to Gene Sperling, Biden advisor, who also admits, Gene Sperling admits, yeah, it's violating the constitutional law, but we have a president who feels your pain.
To date, the CDC director and her team have been unable to find legal authority, even for a more targeted eviction moratorium that would focus just on counties with higher rates of COVID spread. This is a president who really understands the heartbreak of eviction. He is the reason why he is pressing, even when legal authority looks slim, is because he wants to make sure we have explored every potential authority.
That's exactly what he's doing, and he's doing it for political gameship. That's it. And his strings are being pulled. Dance, Joe, dance. Follow this music. Well, I consulted constitutional scholars, and majority of them say, but some say maybe not. And even Gene Sperling, his advisor, said, we searched and searched and really couldn't find no valid constitutional reasoning to do this, but we have a president here who's going to, become a dictator, decide on his own what's going to be our law? Is that where we are? And Rochelle Walensky, heading up the CDC. She was a college professor in Massachusetts at one time. You probably never heard of her. She'd never run for office at any point. But then when Joe Biden got in, Biden decided to appoint her to run the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. As Tucker Carlson pointed out, it's a public health bureau designed to fight malaria, and for doing health, supposedly does a good job, gathers information about diseases and releases guidance, although it's been very confusing lately, hasn't it? But Rochelle Walensky is one of the progressives. And when it came to the eviction moratorium, they decided we're just going to do what the hell we want to. Tucker Carlson says private ownership is over.
It's hard to overstate what a momentous change this is. It means, among other things, that private property no longer exists in the United States. You thought you owned your home. Not anymore. Rochelle Walensky does. She'll decide who can live there, under what circumstances, and for how long. Is this a good idea? Of course not. It's totalitarian. But there's an even more pressing question at the center of this, a principle. A principle that defines what kind of country this is and what kind of country it will be going forward. And the question is this. Where did Rochelle Walensky get the power to do this, to suspend private property rights in America? And the answer is, she simply asserted the power. Walensky claimed she had the authority and no one stopped her from exercising it.
That's it. And in many cases, there are those who are being evicted or would face it. They haven't been paying. They could pay. Got a perfect example coming up for you. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The guy didn't pay me rent, and evidently was getting money from somewhere, and he had three boats. Well, lo and behold, the middle of the summer, their air conditioner went out. And so I had to put about a $4,500 heat pump on that house to make sure that they stayed cool. And I didn't receive any rent or anything. So, you know, it goes way beyond the loss of rental income. We're still bound by county rules and laws. We have to maintain the property.
That is a North Carolina landlord appearing on Fox News, owns about 35 different properties. He said, right now, I'm currently out $24,000 in unpaid rent. And, of course, as he said, in some cases, if they call and they got a problem with the property, I've got to maintain it or I lose the property because the government will come in for sure and take it if I'm not taking care of the people and they have proper air and so forth, they'll come in and condemn it. He said one renter bought three boats over the course of the eviction moratorium and won't pay his rent. Now, the federal government has had so-called rental assistance 7%. Apparently only 7% has actually been given to renters in need. And maybe that's where that guy got some of the money so he could go out and buy three different boats. But when it comes to federal rental assistance, the North Carolina landlord you just heard said, I haven't seen any indication any of the money is actually reaching the renters, so they're just not paying me. And if they are getting it, well, then are they just not giving the money to him? Now, again, back in June, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 to allow the CDC to continue its moratorium until July 31 and said any future extensions would be in the hands of Congress. But Tuesday, the administration announced a new targeted eviction ban to replace the one that expired last Saturday. And so now they're doing it. Congresswoman Lisa McClain, Republican, Minnesota, Michigan, I should say, said the Biden administration ignored Congress refusing to extend the eviction moratorium and just went ahead and did it. She said Congress spoke before we left for recess. They couldn't get the votes. So all the president did was, quote, with a swipe of a pen, again extend it 90 more days. We continue kicking these down the road. She said, I asked the government, at some point in time, when are we going to look at both sides of the equation? We're only seeing one side. What about the landlords? Which for them, these landlords, that's their income, maybe their only income. What are we going to do for them and to protect them? As I told you, you got the bank lien holders of that same property. Maybe there are cases that the landlord owns the property outright, so doesn't have any lien against it. Maybe. But still, how are they supposed to make a living if they're not getting the money from it, if they're depending on that income? I don't want to see people evicted and thrown. I've driven past some places where you see all kinds of furnishings and baby beds, everything just basically dumped, shoved to the side of the street. It's an eviction. You see an eviction notice posted on the door. You got to feel for the people. I don't even know what their situation is, but if there are kids in there, they had nothing to do with it. They're victims, and maybe the whole family's a victim of something that was out of their control. Or maybe they just decided they weren't going to pay until finally they get kicked out. But the CDC is using the public health issue as a reason to allow this to continue, despite the Supreme Court acknowledging, yeah, it's unlawful, but we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. I have no idea what Justice Kavanaugh was thinking. I don't know if my next guest could begin to answer that question. It's Joel Griffin. He's with the Heritage Foundation. Extensive credentials dealing with this kind of stuff. And I want to get some response from him. And before we wrap up today, yes, somebody challenged Psaki at the White House conference about Joe Biden's past indiscretions, reference Andrew Cuomo. And I want to share a letter from a listener. It's all coming up. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler, Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rodler Pest Solutions immediately. Rodler, family owned and operated for 3 generations. If you've never used Rodler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rodler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rodler, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, Rodler Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. And my guest, Joel Griffith from the Heritage Foundation, currently a member of the State Bar of California, has worked in previous federal income tax legislation as well. Joel, glad to have you with us.
Hey, thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was looking at a piece that originally published in the Daily Signal. It referenced you pointing out that the Supreme Court in this ruling the other day left an unlawful, unconstitutional eviction moratorium intact. I'd already informed the viewers or listeners before you joined us that among them making that 5-4 decision was Justice Brett Kavanaugh, who basically acknowledges unconstitutional, but we're going to leave the CDC rule intact. Can you possibly explain to me the thinking that Kavanaugh would have had for that decision?
He articulated in that decision that although he agreed with his other four colleagues that this was an unconstitutional regulation put into effect by the CDC, he thought that by letting it just simply expire at the end of July, that would give time for cities and states to distribute more of the $40 billion worth of rental aid that Congress has appropriated. And, of course, only about 6% of that $40 billion has even been distributed thanks to red tape put in place by many, many blue cities and states.
And what we were talking about that also before you joined us, and I thought I saw the figure 7%, 6-7%. Bottom line is 90-plus percent of it has not been given to the renters who could then pay their rent. Or would it be – would the money – two questions. Would the money go direct to the landlord, or does it go to the renter, and then they are obligated to – or supposedly to pass it on as rent payment?
Yeah, some goes to the renters for various expenses, and others then go other parts of the aid go directly to the landlord. But one of the issues, you may have discussed it, so I don't know if I want to get into it, but one of the issues that a lot of these states have said, if you're a landlord and you take a single dollar of that aid, you cannot evict the person for an entire year following receipt of the money. So that could result in some people being able to basically live rent-free for more than 2 years. That's been a big, big problem with this program.
Wow, I did not know that. And the other thing, you said that the red tape that's been put in place anyway, is that sounds like part of it, but what else is in place that has kept this money getting into the hands of renters if they were actually wanting to do right and pay their rent?
Well, part of it, too, is the difficulty of even navigating through the process. That varies from state by state. I actually spent some time the other day signing up an account, of course, not using any real information, not getting any money, but signing up in Iowa and then also New York, just kind of comparing, contrasting what it's like to navigate through the website. And there's a big difference there as well.
Yeah, and if you as a lawyer have difficulty with it, the average person just said, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I see some of those word puzzles or the letters are scrambled. And if I look at it and within, you know, 30 seconds, bang, I see it. I good. But after that, I said, I'm done with it. I'm done. I made my shot. I'm done. You can take the word step, S-T-E-P, and have the words, the letters moved around. If I don't see it right away, then I'm done with it. So
I actually took a look at the Iowa, because Des Moines, Iowa actually has done a pretty good job of distributing aid. About 70% of the aid that they have allocated to them, they've distributed. And it's pretty easy to navigate their website. There's little checkpoints. It doesn't have you upload a bunch of information initially. And comparing a draft to New York City, it's no fun trying to navigate that one.
Well, there's several things going through here. And before we go any farther, I want to reemphasize and let you reemphasize you as among the legal scholars, the Heritage Foundation have stated this is unconstitutional.
That is absolutely correct. The congressional act that the CDC relies upon to put this regulation in force is called the Public Health Service Act. It was passed decades ago. And that says, in a nutshell, that the CDC can issue regulations for inspection, fumigation, disinfection, sanitation, pest extermination, all these things that the CDC can do to stop the spread of pests or communicable diseases. It does not give the CDC the power to suspend evictions. It's a very specific list, and at the end of the list it says, and other measures. Well, as a lawyer, I can assure you, anytime you have a list of particulars and then you have a catch-all at the end, it doesn't give you free range to do whatever you want. It has to be an act that is related to those other measures. And, you know, from a common sense perspective, that makes sense. You know, if the CDC has the power to stop evictions under the guise of stopping the spread of disease, well, that would give the CDC power to stop us from traveling, like they've done in Australia, where people can be arrested if you leave your house for more than a distance of 3 miles. This is not a catch-all provision. Multiple federal judges have also said this. The Supreme Court is in agreement as well that this is unconstitutional. And for the President of the United States and the CDC director to issue another moratorium after that Supreme Court opinion is really goes against their oath to uphold, defend the Constitution of the United States.
All right, I want to reemphasize. You believe Kavanaugh went along with it, saying, "Well, we're going to give them time to kind of get things together, and it's going to expire anyway, July 31, and then Congress could come up with it." Well, Congress didn't come up with it. Then you had Missouri Congresswoman Bush out on the steps of the Capitol, living and crying and so forth for 4 days, and then the progressives kept pushing on Biden, and someone started pulling the strings, and yet he had even come out and said, "I've consulted constitutional scholars, and they say it's unconstitutional, but some say it might be able to make it fly, so I'm going to go with those guys. I'm rolling the dice with those guys."
Yeah, well, he shouldn't have even had to consult with any legal scholars on this. Anyone has access to that Public Health Service Act, and you can look at the CDC authorization, and you can see that they have not been authorized to suspend eviction. On top of that, legal scholars told them they don't have the power to do this. But more importantly, even if the Congress had given the CDC such power, that would be unconstitutional. Congress does not have the constitutional power to suspend evictions across the country.
You're listening to Joe Griffin with the Heritage Foundation. There's a big point I want to raise, but before I do, I want to go back before you joined us. I was sharing with the audience the Public Health Service Act regs, much of what you went through then. But the point I was pressing hard at that point, that it necessary to have regulations necessary to prevent the introduction, transmission, or spread of communicable diseases, which is why they're doing it, saying basically if you force people out of their homes, they'll all have to go to shelters, and there'll be more likelihood that they will come down with COVID, close contact, things of this nature. But it says spread of communicable diseases from foreign countries into the states, which means our open border policy, that's exactly what's going on down there. It was just yesterday or 2 days ago, the DHS said, we're going to start vaccinating illegals for the first time when they've been telling us for weeks to do it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you went into some detail about what that Public Health Services Act actually says. And regardless of whether or not the CDC is trying to stop the spread of communicable disease by doing this, and I argue actually that that isn't the point of this, because for every person that's evicted, there's about 15 people that move voluntarily. So if the CDC really, really were trying to stop the spread of disease because people are relocating, they would go ahead and actually block everybody from relocating, which of course would also be unconstitutional. But there's a basic legal construct that says anytime you have a list like this and you have a catch-all at the end, it's not a free-for-all. It has to be related to the other items that are specified. If the CDC indeed does have power to suspend evictions to stop the spread of disease, then the CDC could enact other regulations, such as forced vaccination, mask mandates across the country, school closures. It would give the CDC director dictatorial powers. And thankfully, that's not what this allows. But if the CDC's logic were correct, that's what we could be looking at down the pike.
All right, in the last minute here, this is a pressing point I was pushing with the audience as well earlier. Anytime a country goes from a republic, a free democracy-based republic, however they might be defining itself, and they now have Marxist or communist, a dictatorship, the first thing they start doing is seizing everything belongs to the government. You have a car, it belongs to the government. You have a house, it's ours. You have a business, it's now nationalized. They take over everything. This is a slippery slope, allowing the CDC to use this, and the progressive left are just applauding it, and they're hoping we don't see through the smoke. But I do, and yep. I know you do.
Yes, never before in our nation's history has the government tried to criminalizing access to the courts to enforce your private property rights. And in fact, this goes far further, and the CDC regulation actually threatens to incarcerate property owners that want to defend their private property rights. You know, I say look to Venezuela. Venezuela's had an eviction moratorium in place for effectively 10 years, and that country's falling apart. This is a first step down such a road of abolishing private property rights, and we are right to be concerned.
Absolutely. Joel, I do appreciate your time and your input, sir. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
We'll do it again. Joel Griffith from the Heritage Foundation. Folks, the CDC obviously is overstepping. And its case has got to go back before the Supreme Court. But in the meantime, they're going to take control of what they can and will. It is the power grab. I've told you that from the beginning. As long as they have both houses of Congress and the White House, the progressives are going to do what they can. Now, let's spend some time on Andrew Cuomo. And yes, remember the allegations against Joe Biden were similar. That question came up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
You ain't nothing but a hound.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The president has been clear and outspoken about the importance of women being respected and having their voices heard and being allowed to tell their stories and people treating them with respect. That has long been his policy, continues to be his policy. That was heavily litigated during the campaign. I understand you're eager to come back to it, but I don't have anything further other than to repeat that he has called for the governor to resign.
Well, there you have it. White House spokeswoman Saski circling back again. She got a question from the New York Post reporter going through several details of allegations made against Biden, which sound very similar to some made against Cuomo, as released by the Attorney General of New York the other day. And after summarizing, was wanting to know, well, how's that differ? Because Biden is telling Cuomo you should resign. And, of course, you heard Saski said, no, the president's been clear. He believes women should be respected. And yet, remember, he had to be called out a couple times on leaning in, sniffing hair, beginning to stroke their neck and so forth like that. And I'm not talking about kids. There were children, young girls he was doing that to, just trying to be, I don't know, a little touchy-feely. But it was invading their space, and he said, I'll just try to recognize that space in the for going forward. I just didn't mean anything by it. Well, Cuomo might as well just start copying what Joe Biden said. And yeah, the pressure is continuing to build on Cuomo. Resign. We want your head. You're either going to resign or we're going to end up impeaching you through the state legislature. And the Albany prosecutor is looking at making criminal charges out of the allegations issued by the AG in New York State. But keep in mind, she wants to be governor someday, and so does Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York City. So they're all calling for Cuomo's head. But Saski, when answering this question, saying that the allegations about Biden, she said he wanted all voices heard, being allowed to tell their stories, and that was heavily litigated during the campaign. It was not litigated. There was no litigation. And in fact, one of those making the claim, Tara Reid, said there was no investigation. That's a lie. That's misleading the public. And she's right. There was no litigation. So I got an email last night from a listener, and she said, and again, I always tell you, if you send me an email, I will not use your name unless you give me your permission, because I see that on my private email you send to me. If you publish it on Larry Connors USA Facebook, which I encourage you to do, even if you put just your initial, well, you can do what you want. I mean, you can do what you want. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But I'm saying if you put it in the public forum of Larry Connors USA Facebook, well, then a lot of people can see it, so you're identified. So some people, I will not read their name if they send me an email, because I don't know if they want it. In this case, Jan Boyle said, you are free to use my name. Here's what she said. Said, I'm most definitely not a Cuomo fan. Unfortunately, as a young woman working for a temp agency years ago, I was assigned to a one-girl office. It was a dreadful experience. Though I'm a conservative through and through, that experience, plus a couple of others, yes, this happens to many women, forewarns me and wants me to agree with those who during the Kavanaugh hearing said, always believe the woman. She said, of course, I know that's completely irrational, but honestly, it's always a gut initial response. And she said, so with that background, she said, the Cuomo story, she said, we look at these 11, quote, victims. Are they ardent feminists who want to crucify Cuomo? In addition, Larry, to your points about Democrat politics in New York, she also adds, yes, some men used to hug women, not tightly, as a greeting. She said, I think a lot of that subsided. And yes, politicians kissing babies. Said, do you think Cuomo is a politician, also an effusive Italian, probably hugged a lot of people? As a volunteer in many political campaigns, I have seen this again and again. I'm not excusing the other activities, but there are some points to consider. And she adds, I really, really appreciate your perspective and all you do to bring us your excellent program each day. Well, I was just reading just to get to that line. No, you know, Jan is right to that extent. I raised two daughters, and I wanted them to be respected in the workplace. And when I first entered into TV news, I know a lot of folks say, hey, is it kind of like the Anchorman show, all that chauvinistic attitude about women? And I said, it was at that time. It was. It was chauvinistic. It was racist. I mean, whatever you found, that existed at that time with a lot of local TV news and, of course, at the network level as well. Thank God it has changed, and it should. And, yes, there have been times that I might hug a coworker or comment that your sweater makes you look great or something. That's considered by some inappropriate. The other night, I'm talking to a young waitress, and I reach her, just kind of touch her arm and say, well, I really think, and I pulled my hand back. I said, I'm sorry. I apologize. She said, well, I didn't take offense at it. I said, well, if you did, I need to apologize. Because I did. I just reached out to just say, you're doing a great job. And it's hard sometimes, because I am kind of one of these, to that extent, I like to hug and so forth. But yeah, we had to reconsider, don't we? Coming up in the next hour, by the way, again, Jan, thanks for that. Who's to blame for the COVID spread? Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.